Today's scripture is familiar to most of you, I suspect, and if you were looking at the front of the bulletin, these little characters may seem familiar to you, do they not? I mean, the little water walker is out there having a great time out there walking on the water, and the boat potato, we call him, is back there in the boat, and he's all afraid to step out of that boat, and he's not having such a good time. Now, if you remember correctly, about 2 years ago, if you were around here 2 years ago, we had a whole sermon series on this water walking. We had small groups as well. It was on a book by John Ortberg, and it was called, If You Want to Walk on the Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. Now, is this ringing a bell with anybody? Are you remember? Oh, good. All right. So you're probably thinking, so what's she doing? She's going to preach that again. Doesn't she know that was just 2 years ago? And we watch enough reruns on television in the summertime. You don't want a rerun when you come to church, right? All right. Well, the reason, I have to confess a little bit, the reason that I'm preaching on it again is that it's from the Common Lectionary. It's the scripture that is recommended for today. And if you're not familiar with that term, it's something that a bunch of biblical scholars got together and decided which scriptures they would have that is kind of guidelines for preachers. And it's amazing what you can get on Google.com because this is the committee. I never saw that before. But they're the new committee, I guess, and maybe they're going to make a new lectionary. I don't know. But it's some scriptures, and it gives you a place to start. But we've been here so long that actually we don't preach on the lectionary very much because we'd be preaching on the same scriptures over and over again. But if you preach on them, supposedly you get all the major themes of the Bible. But it was the beginning of summer. I had to get the newsletter out. We were going on vacation. Vacation Bible school was coming up, and I thought, what am I going to preach on in August? I don't know. Just the lectionary passages. So I looked at them, and I saw water walking was one, and I thought, I know I've done that before, but I'll figure that out when I get back from vacation. Well, here I am, back from vacation. And now I got to figure out, what am I going to say? I preached a whole sermon series on this thing. Oh, Diana, what were you thinking about? Thinking you were going to preach on it again and do something different. So I've been struggling with that. But, you know, the Olympics are on, right? And I thought about that as I thought about the Olympic teams. And I thought, now, do you think that their coaches just told them once the important things? No, I don't think so. Over and over and over again, their coaches told them the important things for them to go for the gold, right? So they just didn't tell them once. So I'm going to tell you again. I know I've told you a lot this time, but I'm going to tell you again because I want you to not just be a plain old water walker. I want you to be a gold medal water walker, okay? So we're going to go for the gold today. Is that all right with you? Are you going to go for the gold? We're just going to get really fired up and go for the gold. Do I hear some enthusiasm? All right, we're going to go for the gold here. All right. Well, first we got to tell the story. And so I need some volunteers to be disciples. All right, I want some volunteers to be disciples. Come on up here. Come on, I need, you know, I don't know if I need 12 or not, but I need some volunteers to be disciples. And I have a boat, just like that, okay? Well, it's that kind of that string right there. But get into that boat, step over carefully. Can you all get in? Yeah, it's a boat. Can you get in there? Look, see? See? Oh, yeah, you can. There's room. Get in this boat. All right. That's not the way you get into a boat. There you go. All right. Now when I tell you, I need somebody up here in the front, David. There you go. All right. Now that's a nice boat. All right. You know how, when I tell you, you're going to go on out to the middle there. All right, that middle aisle. You know how a boat, you know, a boat. That's right. Okay. Now, I'm going to have Bob be Jesus. But I want all the rest of you, you're going to be the waves and the wind. Now, that boat's going to look something like that, okay, in your mind. So you need to go, woo, 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 I need waves, 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 woo, woo, woo. All right. Oh, and you keep it up until I say the wind ceased, okay? When I tell you there was a wind, you start winding, all right? Got it? All right. Now, this story takes place right after last Sunday's scripture. When you remember what happened last Sunday? Jesus fed, you weren't here, the rest of them were? 5,000. That's right. Okay. Fed 5,000. So, the scripture says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, you already did that, and go to the other side while he dismissed the crowd.
You go out and over to the other side. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the crowd.
Okay, so you're going in the boat. All right. All right. And he dismissed the crowd. Not quite yet. All right. All right. And after he dismissed the crowd, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. But when evening came, he was there alone. And the disciples, the boat by this time, battered by the wind, was far out from land. So very early in the morning, Jesus came walking. Why don't you get in the little aisle there so you can kind of see him? All right. Came walking toward them on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they cried out with fear. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. Immediately, Jesus called out to them, saying, "Take heart!
Take heart!
It is I!
It is I!
Do not be afraid!
Do not be afraid!"
Oh, I forgot to bring my. But Peter said, "Lord,
Lord,
real loud because I don't have
Lord,
the mic. If it is you, command me to come to you.
Command me to come to you.
On the sea.
On the sea.
Woo, woo, woo." And Jesus said,
"Come."
So Peter got out of the boat. Woo, woo, woo. And started walking on the water toward Jesus. Woo. But when he saw the wind, woo, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out,
"Lord, help me!
Save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand to him, caught hold of him, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith!
Oh, ye of little faith!
Why did you doubt?
Why did you doubt?"
And when they got got into the boat.
All right.
Woo, woo, woo. When they got into the boat. Yes, you had to get into the boat.
Hey.
Oh, the wind ceased. And all those in the boat said, "You are the Son of God.
You are the Son of God."
The word of God for the people of God. All right. Okay. Thanks be to God. Thank you all. All right. Let's give them a hand. Good job. Get out of the boat. Now they're all going to walk on the water back to their. All right. Back to their seats. Whew. All right. Well, that's an exciting story. An exciting story. But did you get what Peter said? And I meant to bring the other microphone out there so that you could really hear it. What Peter said when he thought it was Jesus, he said, "Lord, if it is you." You know, those disciples were terrified. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "No, don't worry, don't be afraid. It's just me." And Peter said, Lord, if it is you, like it would prove it was Jesus if he asked him to do something incredibly difficult. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water. And he did it for a little while until he got afraid. But Jesus was right there. Well, as Peter got out of that boat, John Ortberg said, he began the tradition of water walking disciples. And with our baptism, we all become water walking disciples. Now, 2 years ago, when I started this sermon series, we had just the Sunday before dedicated consecrated, I forget which one. We just paid off our entryway. And we were there, and we were water walking disciples. Oh, I was going to tell you, by water walking disciples, I don't mean actually walking on the water, but rather being able to do something with God's help that we couldn't do on our own. Okay, and one of the examples of that was paying off the entryway. Here we are, 2 years ago, we had just, well, this was in September, but we all went down there, and I had told you during the service the story of the entryway, how people had said, you can't make this building handicap accessible. There's no way. There's no place for an elevator. But then when we found an architect who finally told us how we could do it, then they said, there's no way. You can't find all that money. But then when we raised the money that they told us it was going to cost, then we put it out for bids, and it was a lot more than they had told us, and we didn't have that money. And they said, now we can't do it. But we did, and this is us paying it off, and it's all paid for, and boy, are we happy. Now, that is joy on our faces. We are all so happy that we were able to do it. It's a way that we as a church became water walkers. We did something that seemed impossible, but with God's help, we did it. And we know that there are people who are even water walking corporate execs who deal honestly and fairly with people, even though everybody always says you have to be dishonest and you have to cheat and you have to get ahead in life. And we also know that there are water walking couples who work hard at communication and building a strong relationship and honoring and respecting one another, even though the society tells us that to have fun, you have to be promiscuous and get a divorce easy, you know, that kind of thing. There are water walking students too. Water walking students who can pass the test without cheating. There are water walking students who can go to parties and have a good time at parties without taking drugs. Is that not true? I have a whole bunch of them right there, right? You're water walking. You can do that even though society says, that's the way to have a good time or this is the way to pass the test. We are water walkers. And I hope in this past 2 years, those of you that were a part of that sermon series have done a lot of water walking on your own. And those of you that are new since then, I hope that today is the day that you say, hey, I can get out of the boat and I can follow the command of Jesus to do things that people think aren't necessarily possible. But I know with God's help, I can do it because we're going to be water walking. Water walking disciples in everything that we do. Because our alternative is to be that old boat potato. That boat potato that doesn't do anything. It just sits there in the boat, in the comfort of the boat, and doesn't really do anything that challenges them to grow in faith. And you know what happens if you just don't really do anything that challenges your faith to grow? It's kind of like your faith disappears because boat potatoes rot at sea. And that was my sermon title a couple years ago. But I'm not going to deal with that today. Really, what I want to deal with is something that it's something that we all have to do. We all have to be this kind of water walker as we are Christians. But I think there are some people who have some questions about this. And that's because I read the minutes of the church council meeting while I was gone. Now, while we were gone, the church council met, and as according to the minutes, they had a discussion about general conference. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the way the United Methodist Church works, every 4 years we elect delegates. There are five clergy and five lay people from Michigan who go to that from our Detroit conference. And every 4 years, then they update the discipline of the church, the rule books of the church. Well, they just met this past spring, and one of the things was that they changed the membership vows that we are supposed to take as we join the church. Now, we're going to have some new members next week. If there are any of you who are not members and want to join, talk to me afterwards. But we do have some people that are going to be joining the church next week. And I thought, maybe we better settle this. So we'll talk about these new membership vows. Now, they didn't take anything off that we all promised. They just added something. Do you remember what you promised? You promised to support the church with your prayers. First of all, we're supposed to pray, you know, Redford Aldersgate prayer or your own prayer. We're supposed to pray for the church. Prayers, your... Second is presence. Good. You all get an A for that today. All those empty pews where people are supposed to be who are out on vacation. I don't know where they are, but you guys get an A. All right? Of course, you got to come next week, too, right? Yeah, that's your prayers, your presence. Now somebody said gifts. All right, you remember that. That's good. And your service. Good, your service. Your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service. Well, they added two more words, really one thing. But it's those of you that were at the council meeting, what was it? Faithful witness. Faithful witness. Now, as they were talking about that, and I quote the minutes of the council meeting, they said, after much discussion, it was decided that we needed more information on exactly how, where, and what we were to do as witnesses. Is that right? Okay. Now, I wasn't there, but I suspect that there were some people who were feeling like that meant that we had to go door to door, just like, you know, another group of religious group of people that kind of want to argue with you and coerce you into that. Or maybe they thought you needed to be standing on a soapbox someplace and telling people about doomsday and that Jesus is going to come and you better scare people into believing and coming to church. Is that kind of what maybe some people thought? Well, I wasn't at General Conference either, but I will bet everything I have on the fact that that's not what the General Conference people had in mind. We as United Methodists do not witness that way. Of course, though, if you find yourself in a subway station and you want to just shout out how much Jesus loves you, go ahead and do that. Because I've been there and done that. I have a vacation story I have to tell you. Goes in with this. We got to London. It was 10:30 at night. And, you know, by the time you go through customs and you get your bags, it's about 11:30. Then we stopped at the money changers and got some of our dollars turned into pounds. So we had hotel reservations at Finsbury Park. And so we said to the money changer guy, where do we go to get a taxi to Finsbury Park? And he said, are you sure you want a taxi to Finsbury Park? You know, we just had, $200 or $300 changed over to pounds. And he said, because a taxi to Finsbury Park will cost you about 80 pounds. Now, I told you last week it was $2.20 per pound. Do your figure. That's about $174 to get to the taxi. Well, that would be most of the money we had just transferred, you know. And it's like, oh, well, I don't know. But he said, the tube, the subway, goes right there. It'll only be about 8 pounds. Well, 80 pounds or 8 pounds? Which would you choose?
8 pounds.
8 pounds. All right. He said, of course, you do have your big bags, but they're on wheels. We can handle it, you know. So I said, okay. So we follow the directions. We get down to the subway. We follow all that. I was a little apprehensive because by this time, it's nearly midnight, you know. But, it's all crowded. It's like noon. So it's all filled, and it takes us a while to get there. But they call Finsbury Park. So we get off the subway, along with about 1,000 other people. You know, there are all these people. And we follow along the crowd, and we turn this way. And then suddenly we turn, and there are steps. Not escalators, steps. And I have this huge big bag and the carry-on. Bob has a big bag and a carry-on. I look, there's people, all these people. How am I going to carry this huge big, you know, this big suitcase up the steps? Immediately, just right behind me, a young man said, "I'll carry your bag for you." And I said, "Oh, wow, how great is that?" And his friends went over to Bob and said, "I'll carry yours." And he said, "It's the love of Jesus that makes me want to help you." Now, is that cool or what? But I said, "Oh, that's wonderful." And so he picks up my bag, and while I'm trying to mess around with my carry-on to get it upstairs, I look up, and I see he's got my bag on top of his head, and he is going through the crowd up and around, and there goes my bag way up there while I'm here trying to get my little carry-on, and suddenly my relief turns to fear. You know, because it's like, there goes my bag. All my clothes, all my medicine, my 3 week supply is going up those steps. But he is shouting out, "The love of Jesus. I'm doing this for the love of Jesus." And so I start shouting, "Yes, Jesus loves you. God is good. God is good all the time. God is powerful. I'm a preacher on vacation here. Oh, Jesus loves you." And he turns the corner and he's out of sight. But I could still hear him shouting, "Jesus, for the love of Jesus." And by this time, Bob is gone. I don't know where he is. But I'm doing my suitcase and I'm shouting out, "Jesus loves you." Flight after flight. It's a long way from the subway to ground level, let me tell you. All the way we are shouting out, "Jesus loves you," all the way. We are witnessing, I tell you. When I get to the top of the stairs, there is Bob already with the two guys. And he's trying to give them a tip for doing that. And they simply said, "No, the love of Jesus is the only reward we want." Now, that is witness. What I did is probably not witness. That's just plain old fear. But what he did was witness. That is witness. Doing something good for somebody and giving God the glory for it. That is witness. So what is faithful witness? Just being a Christian and giving God the glory. So the next time you see a little old lady with a big bag going upstairs, try helping her out. But maybe you feel like you're the little old lady. And what could you do? But you can be a faithful witness by the way you live. I remember when I was serving London United Methodist Church, and one night we were sharing how we came to be a part of that church. And I remember one man said, you know, there was, and he named her, I don't remember her name, but she said, she was the little old lady, and she would come walk to church every Sunday. She walked to church, whether it was snowing or icy or a nice day, she still walked to church. And she was such a lovely lady that all the time she seemed to find joy in anything, and I thought, boy, if she's willing to walk to church even in the snow and ice, I have to go to that church to find out where she gets her joy. And he'd been at that church for a long time. You see, it was the witness that she had each day. Now, if she'd have been a grumpy old lady and a lousy neighbor, I doubt that he'd have come to church to find out where she got to be so grumpy, right? But because of her life showed the love of Jesus, he wanted to find out. Now, that's what we mean by faithful witness. Now, the church council wanted to know when. When are we to do that? Well, when is it? Is it Sunday morning? Well, yeah. Is it Monday? Yeah. Tuesday? Actually, it's every minute of every day. Because actually on Harry's Sermon Club it says, when should we witness? And the answer is every minute, every day. But actually it could say, when do we witness? And it's every minute of every day. It's whether we're a positive witness or a negative witness. Because people watch what we do. If we're unhappy and if we're grouchy or if we're mean, that's a witness. If you have somebody who lives next door to you and they go to church every Sunday, but they yell at their kids and beat their kids, or they yell at you when your tree gets leaves in their yard, I mean, is that they're witnessing, but it's not a positive witness. So we do witness whether we know it or not. But we need to make it a positive witness. And make it a natural part of your life about giving God the glory. Now that young man could have just taken my bag, and that would have been fine. But by giving Jesus the credit, I tell you, by the time, if my heart hadn't already been full of Jesus' love, by the time I got to the top there and he said to me, no, God's love is all I need, there would have been a conversion right there, because I was really touched by his generosity. So we need to give God the glory and make it a natural part of our lives, just a natural part. Now, last spring, when we were doing the five practices of a fruitful congregation, I had Lisa do some little videos for me as an example to actually show you how you're a faithful witness. I guess the church council weren't there that Sunday, so I'm going to show you these videos again because, you know, gold medal champions, they always look at videos again and again and again till they get it. So look at this one. Now, Lisa is pretending like she's at work, and it's right after the homeless week, and she says these things to her coworkers. Well, maybe.
So tired. This weekend we had our homeless ministry at church, and it was so much work. I like ached all over, but it was so worthwhile, and I had such a great time. I met so many wonderful people. You should come sometime.
See, just sharing what you do at church and how it's important. Or she had a new neighbor, and so she went to visit them, and this was part of the conversation.
Listen, it's been really great talking to you, and I hope you enjoy the neighborhood. I know I'll enjoy having you as a neighbor.
Oh, yeah, and if you're looking for a church, I'd be happy to take you to mine. We've got a lot of great families there and two different services, and, well, my pastor would love to meet you, too, so I'll take you anytime. Just let me know if you want to come.
That's what we mean by faithful witness. It's not standing on a soapbox someplace. It's not even yelling out, Jesus loves you. Although if you want to do that, you can. But just make it a normal part. Get out of the boat and be a witness, a faithful witness. Go for the goal. Go for the gold. And you do that by first getting out of the boat, getting out of your comfort zone. Somehow, we're not too comfortable talking about God. But we need to just do it. We can talk about our church and talk about God in a comfortable way. Like the man said, it's the love of Jesus that made me want to do this. Or maybe you want to just say, this is the way I show love for God. Or I'm glad to be an avenue that God could love you through. Or it was just fun going to church. Or I hope you'll come to church. Those kinds of things, those are ways of witness. Get out of the boat, get out of your comfort zone, and give God the glory for what you do. Give God the glory. Just say something about God's love as you're doing something good for somebody. Easy. That's easy. And observe opportunities to obey. God puts lots of opportunities in your life to obey, to help others. Just observe those opportunities. And love. And then love again and love some more. That's the bottom line. Love, love, love. And demonstrate your faith by the way you live. That's how to go for the gold. I know sometimes you may mess up and people may misunderstand and think you're stealing their suitcase when you're just trying to help. But in the end, Jesus is always there to reach out that hand to help you and get you back in the boat. So give it a try. Get out of the boat and Give God the glory for the nice things that you do. Live your Christian life. Observe ways that you can really reach out and help others and obey Jesus and love, 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 and demonstrate faith by the way you live. And you will be a gold medal, water-walking witness for Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. We're going to go for the gold.